We are in Kuf Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis. The Mechaber says, Dagon Katanim Shemochim Yisrael, if you have small fish that a Yid salted, that is to make them edible, you salted them, Oy Ovid Yicham, or the guy salted them, Hari Hen Kamoshin is partial, Mitzas Bishol, it's like they're partially cooked. So now they're partially cooked. If a guy would cook them, continue to cook them, they're mutter, because our halacha is supposing you know what's going to come in the next halacha, which is salting by a goy doesn't make something awesome. That's not bishlachim. That's really the next halacha, but you're supposed to know that already. So the fact that the goy salted it so far is okay. The first part of it that he salted was okay. At that point, it's considered edible. Since it's a small fish, and salting it makes it, salting the small fish makes it be considered edible. And now the fact that he cooked it afterwards doesn't make it awesome. It was already, we so to speak, it nechal k'mon shulchai.
It came it's like a third, it's like a third cook or something.
It's edible. We can hear in a second what it means edible. It's edible. Avol dagam luchum gedolim. What happens about big salted fish? In an achal eladet chak, they're only passed to be edible. That's like kamecha mitzvah. So they're only passed to. So if they salted a large fish, then lefikachum tzolim of kachal masurim. So if a guy would do the end cooking, then it would be awesome because the guy is one who made it edible. We wouldn't consider nechal k'mon shulchai. Because this first sheet in the Mechaber holds that necha idea tchak is not considered necha chai. Necha chai means that it's edible. Necha chai means that it's edible to regular people. Necha idea tchak is not considered edible, and therefore, if the guy cooked it, it would be bishlachim.
The Yesh is speaking where he salted it also originally?
Yes.
What happens to the Yid?
Same thing, it wouldn't make a difference. If whoever had done
nothing,
that doesn't count, right?
Correct.
The Yesh Matirin, some hold that Nechai Deit Chak is considered also Nechachai. And therefore, even the big fish, the guy made it, salted it, made it edible. That didn't make it osur, but it made it edible. So now the cooking didn't do anything, it was already edible.
But nobody holds that salting means that period this thing is Nechachai.
Say that again?
Nobody holds that the fact that you can salt it and eat it makes it period Nechachai.
Nechon, that's correct. We'll see that in a second. That's correct, yes. The fact that it could have been theoretically salted wouldn't make it, that's good. The Ramah says, V'chein kol dover shenechachai deyat chak, u'bishlav k'chovim, dina k'dovim b'dov. Anything that's nechachai deyat chak, meaning the example in the Shulchan Aruch is a case where you did something to make it nechachai. The Ramah says, of course, the same thing would be true as if it was nechachai naturally. It was nechachai. Okay, a food that didn't need any preparation to get nechachai, that's also motor. That's also has the same din. So if it's only nechachai deyat chak, then it has the din of dovim b'dov, which is the first sheet that was also, and the second sheet that was mother. Ubasa maluach, ain't necha klal k'mar shulchai. Salted meat is not necha chai at all. But also in this basha, they become so if a guy cooked it, it would be awesome. Okay.
Now, is there certain meats, I don't know, or another, that they just keep it in a brine with salt for a long time, and then they eat that afterwards? Is there, do you have like beef jerky? That's dried.
Those are dried.
That's dried is considered baking because it's not at a high.
I don't know. You see, maybe we'll see that in the next halacha. Right, if we okay. Figure that out.
We'll talk.
That has to do with that din of dried out. The next halacha is going to be about things that are on what's not considered cooking. Other ways to make food edible that's not considered cooking.
Right.
Okay. So now, the Gemara says, just to start this, the Gemara says that there are small fish. Small fish are not olah shochem ochel. And our din that we just saw, in other words, but if not for that, they would be considered, they would be bishlachim. Ours, we're saying that fish would be usher, if not for the fact that the guy had salted it and made it edible, it would have been usher. Okay, so the Pesukim is, well, what's going on? Make up your mind. Are small fish oila shulchem ochem or they're not oila? The Gemara says they're not oila shulchem ochem. Our din is sort of assuming that they're oila. It's just an issue of what do you do with the fact that you managed to get it edible without cooking it. Okay, so there's three answers that I know of. Okay, three answers. It's not so important. There's three answers. The Beis Yosef says, the Gemara is talking about when you cook the fish without salting it. That's not olah shulchem ochem. And our din is if you salt it and then you cook it, then it is olah shulchem ochem. Okay? If you cook it straight, as is the fish, that's not olah shulchem ochem. And our din is talking about salting and cooking, that is olah shulchem ochem.
This is sort of like similar to like case of potatoes. If I make french fries, it might not be olah
shulchem ochem. Okay, so that...
You don't look at the chefs of Shabbat, but you look at the final result.
No, of course. Yeah, we figured that out a long time.
That's okay. Right. Right.
That's why. Because he's saying the same fish... Yeah. Seen the same, you're right. You're saying the same fish, if you prepare one way, it would be oiler. Okay, good. Mask him. Put it down.
Okay. Thank you.
Next is the Tosfos says, Shach brings the Tosfos who says the Gemara is talking about very small fish, and our small fish are a little bit bigger. Okay, it's two different fish. When we say small fish, and that Gemara said small fish, it didn't mean the same.
We're talking guppies.
Guppies, sorry, medium fish.
Medium.
Okay.
And the last teretz is from the Bach.
Guppies and goldfish.
Who the Bach says is, if you have a fish which is supposed to be big, which just grows eventually into a big fish, and you eat it small, that's not a lashon hara. And our din is talking about fish that are meant to be small. They're always small, and therefore they're at their full size, and they are potentially a lashon hara.
Who says this teretz?
The Bach. He says, but if you have a fish that's supposed to be big, a salmon that's supposed to be this big, and you only have one that's this big, then it's not also okay. Next, the Taz says that if you would take meat, the Ramah said that if you have meat, salted meat is not nechachai at all. The Taz says, if you salt it really long time, okay, if you really give it a good salting, then it will be edible completely. Okay. And we know the same, now I'm preparing you for what I'm going to get to, is that we know the same thing is by fish also. There's such a thing as salting for a very long time, and even for big fish, I thought I saw it in place, but I can't find it again, that's considered nechachai also. Not nechachai devchak, that it's really nechachai. Nechol, it's edible. Okay?
So now, herring is an example.
Of what? Being completely salted.
Brine. Right, that's why people always call me up, they got to worry about this, the brine, they go to a Russian, Polish store, and I say, you don't know what's in the brine.
Good, okay. So now we have four, I'm just going to organize you, four kinds of fish over here. Well, I'm going to follow the basics, okay? We have small fish that were cooked and never salted. Those are not oil shulchan aruch. We have small fish that were salted and then cooked. They are oil shulchan aruch, but they're nechachai. They're considered nechachai because the salting makes them edible. Okay. But we have large fish which are salted the regular way. They are, and then they're cooked. They are oil. And the fact that you salted it did not make them considered edible.
Right.
Therefore, the cooking needs to be b'shri shol.
Okay.
And the last case is, if you have large fish, which are salted a lot, you salted, you know, enough to make it fully edible for everybody, they're oiler, but you made them edible through a non-cooking method, and therefore, the fish is mutter. Okay? Is that four fish? I'm setting you this up for a case for later. Okay? For what I want to tell you later. Okay, now. The Mechaber says, back to the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber said that there's two opinions as to whether a food which is nechachai de'etchak, is that food need b'shul Yisrael or doesn't need b'shul Yisrael? Is that considered nechachai or is it not nechachai? Okay, he brought two things. According to the rules, so to speak, the column of how you read the Shulchan Aruch, he says the first sheet, the plain, as regular, and he says the yesh matir, so that means to say that he favors the first sheet. Okay, the Daki Moshe, earlier in the Simen, brought a similar thing from the Issa Heter, where he said he favors that it's usher. Okay, that what Machmud says, if it's nechai de'etchak, it's also wrong. So I'm surprised that the Ramah doesn't say it.
Right.
The Ramah says it's dino ki dogen gedon. Okay, it's like dogen, they didn't tell you, and it's mutter aser. Okay, but the Daki Moshe, way back earlier in the Simen, brought us another case from Issa v'Heter, and he said that the din is that nechai de'etchak is not considered nechai. Okay. Okay, and that's what most people assume, that these things are also, in order to be nechai, it has to be edible by regular people.
Well, let me ask you, the whole dinner we had it before, but Michael Ben Jusoy. What is Michael Ben Jusoy? Are they a track?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be then the same halacha by Basar.
Yeah, if the person, but what we're saying here, what's the kasha?
But then we pass him something like okay. Michael Ben Jusoy, we say it's okay.
There's no fish halacha.
If the yid cooked it that much, because we say the yid did the cooking now.
Right.
That's not saying it's mutter because it's now nechachai.
Well, am I not kamina? Now it's edible. It is edible.
Yes.
So just like if a yid cooks it up to Michael Ben Jusoy as a dinner bishul Yisrael, so if I got a round of bishul and I was able to salt it, now it's nechol,
yes.
So then why should it be an Isra bishul hakim?
It's not bishul Yisrael. You did it by salting.
But I don't have...
You made it through salting.
It's by itself.
Let's say I'm
Michael Ben Jusoy, and then a guy finishes it. So it's
and the guy, yeah, it's usher, of course.
So that it's usher?
Yes, because it became... If it is cooked by a guy, it's usher. Unless it was edible before the guy cooked
so
it.
So if a yid cooks a Michael Ben Jusoy,
yes.
And then the guy cooks it afterwards.
It's mutter because then the yid cooked it.
But so it's not worth my shalach's kisa. It's not cooked by itself. It's
yeah.
Cooked by somebody else.
Yeah,
it's
right
the sun.
Right the sun.
Cooked a third cooked.
Yeah.
And the guy finishes it, it's awesome. But you don't have...
A yid didn't cook it, and it wasn't edible.
But it wasn't in a getter of bishalachim anymore, because it's edible right now.
No,
because
it's not edible now. It's only passively edible. It's only nechlai de'etchak. That's not considered. That's what the
rochah is. Yeah, rochah, because l'maisa, if it's passable edible, the yid cooked it. We say guy could cook it after myself. So if the issue is official of guy cooking food that I can't eat right now,
Yeah. That's not kosher. So if I can eat it, I have chag.
Basically, in this case, the goy didn't cook the food because you cooked at the beginning of the cooking.
You're not cook any. What, you both what is it?
So if you but both told you, it needs better. It needs bishlish on the head.
And even if the Jew had salted, it wouldn't help either, right?
If you would salt at the beginning, no, that's not going to help them. That's not
the bishop.
Correct. Because it's not cooking. Correct.
That I agree with you.
Okay. We're going to see in two halachas, okay, that most people hold that this that there's a machloek is about necha idebchak, whether necha idebchak is considered edible or not. We're going to see in two halachas, most people hold that there's a level of, I don't know how to explain this, but there's a level of necha idebchak that everyone agrees is not considered edible. Okay, now I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know how to define it. Hopefully in 12 halachos we'll figure it out. What that means is that there's two levels of nechai deitchak. There's one level that everyone agrees that's not considered edible. That's like lesser amount. And the one that's a little bit more nechai deitchak, that's the one that's the machlokes. Okay, exactly how to be ma'adjud, hopefully
you by don't time want to use a lesser amount of being
hopefully by the time we get to Yudal, I'll have to figure that out.
Right.
I don't understand. Okay, but we'll get there. Not everyone agrees to that. We'll see that in there also. Okay. But most people hold it. Okay, now, last is that we're going to see, you're going to hear in a minute, that there's a... Okay, we're going to hear that there's... When we say that something has to be edible, okay, has to be considered edible, that doesn't mean that it has to be edible by itself. If a food is edible with other foods, if you eat it with bread, that's considered edible also. Okay? If what we say is that a food is edible, doesn't mean you have to be able to take a bite, like an apple. An apple, you can just bite into the apple. If you could eat it with other foods, that's also considered edible. Even if you couldn't eat it, if it's too strong to eat as it is, but you can eat it with other foods, that's also considered edible. You have
one? I got you.
Got that? Okay.
It's like garlic.
Yes, okay, garlic is a good example.
I mean, if people do eat it, they're not normal. I mean, if you take a piece of fresh garlic and eat it.
Okay, so we're going to see that. Okay, we're going to see that. That's going to be negated. That's going to be very negated to us. If it's edible, if there are ways to eat it with other foods, that's considered edible, even though you can't eat it, you can't take a bite out of the food straight. Okay?
Will you give us a case?
I'm going to give you a very big case. That's what come right now to a case.
You give me everything
that we said until now, we're heading to a very specific case. We're directed to a certain case. Before I get to, I'm telling you just a side point, just for curiosity, this is not Megiddo's, which is the Gra says, our din said that raw meat or partially salted meat is not edible. It's nechai deyabchak. In a few halachas, we're going to see that eggs are also considered raw eggs are nechai deyabchak. He says, you should just know, in Hilchos Shabbos, we say that eggs and meat are not mukta. I don't know if it's not true nowadays, but they're considered not mukta because they're nechai deitchak. So they're considered edible, and therefore, they're not mukta.
People eat raw ground beef.
Okay, so...
They eat raw ground beef.
So that's what that did is talking about. Most people don't consider it edible. Most people don't consider that edible.
That's a new thing?
No, I see it in restaurants and in...
Okay. Anyhow, so the Gra says the rules are not the same. For mukta, it's good enough that some people can eat it. That makes it not mukta. I guess maybe it means that it's on your mind that maybe I'll use this thing because some people could use it. That's enough to make it not mukta. For our din, it has to be really usable. It has to be really edible.
Yes.
That's what we're posturing, that it has to be really edible. Nechai dechak is not enough. For Shabbos, you just didn't push it out of your mind because somebody could eat it, or if I was really stuck, I could eat it. So it makes it not mukta. Okay, that's what the Gra says. Now, based on this whole parsha that we just saw, okay, everything that we've seen until now, based on all of this, somebody, you probably know his name, Rabbi Zwicker from the OU, was able to solve a very serious and interesting question that came up. He was able to solve it based on the din that we just talked about until now. And that was the following. There's two ways to make smoked fish. There are two styles of smoked fish. There's cold smoked fish and hot smoked fish. Okay. Cold smoked fish is they put the fish into a chamber that's kept a little bit above room temperature. It's really not very hot at all. That's why it's called cold smoking. They smoke the thing in that room, and it eventually dries out the fish and makes it edible without heat. I mean, there's a minimal amount of heat, but it's not hot in what we would consider hot. It's not considered bishul. It's a drying process. It's called cold smoking because it's at a very low, relatively low temperature, and that's, of course, not bishul yisrael. That's going to be the next thing. It was made edible without cooking, so it does not need to have bishul yisrael. That's fine. Then there's hot smoking. Okay? Hot smoke used to be made that they would smoke it, put it into a chamber, blow smoke at this thing, and the smoke was hotter. And that hot smoke that would hit the fish would make the fish edible somehow, whatever it did to it, it made it edible, but it was done with a hotter smoke, and that made a different style of fish.
Correct.
Called hot smoking. Again, that was going to be mutter because Ishan, we'll see in the next name, that smoked fish is mutter. Okay, so if you smoke something to make it edible, that's mutteros. Okay. But then what happened was, decades ago, they realized, we don't need to blow hot smoke on this, which is a real pachka and an expense. And they did is they put it into a chamber, and they basically baked the fish. Basically, they just heat up the chamber to a hot temperature and cook, not cook like 300 degrees, but 200 degrees. They cook the fish. And then, at some point, they sprinkle on liquid smoke flavor to give it that smoky taste to it, or they blow in some smoke into it, a little smoke gets blown in to be that what they did, and they call it hot smoking. So what happened is the term hot smoke used to mean smoke that is hot, and now it became...
Which would not have been a problem.
Which wouldn't have been a problem, and now hot smoke became an hot and smoke.
Additive, added.
It, the word, they changed what it is, but they didn't change the name. There used to be, the smoke is hot, and now it is hot and it, there is smoke. That's what it became. Okay?
Don't they have like soda also for a flavor or something underneath?
So they smoke. Right, they put it, sometimes they throw in a drop of smoldering smoke in there, they throw in liquid, but that's not what's doing the cooking. That's not what's doing the cooking.
Okay,
but
no,
they're making it edible. It's not that it's getting a smoke process, it's getting a heat process. I don't remember what temperature they are.
It's a chamber, it gets hot.
I don't remember how it is. Okay, so just, so what happened? So now, all of a sudden, that needs Bishul Yisrael. All of a sudden, that thing called hot smoked fish needs Bishul Yisrael because it's really being, it's really baked fish, so to speak, with smoke flavor thrown onto it. And of course, that needs Bishul Yisrael, which was going to be a big hassle and a complication, and potentially mean all this food wouldn't be kosher. That was the issue that we faced.
This is how long ago would you say?
20 years. 15, 20 years. A long time. No, it's a long time.
Because Reiko wasn't there then, was he?
Yeah, this is one of his accomplishments. So, no, really, you'll hear what he did. So now, what happened is, when they looked into it further, they found out that you don't just smoke a fish. You don't take the fish and hang it up in the thing to smoke. Mm-hmm. First, you do two other steps. The first step is you brine it, which is it sits and soaks in brine, salty water, very salty water for a while. And then you do a drying process that's like cold smoking. You do a drying process around room temperature to dry it out. And then you do the hot smoke.
Do they do any smoking with that when they're
drying?
Yeah.
Yes or no? I don't think so.
Because maybe it gives and cooks it a little bit more.
So the shiloh is like this. So when they looked at it, they said, okay, so let's see, maybe the fish is considered edible. When it got after those first two stages, maybe it was edible. Neither of those first two stages
needed fish around the fish a lot.
If we make it edible, we'd be good enough at that point, and the hot smoke wouldn't make a difference. And what happened was, it turned out to be exactly our din. The din that we have in our in Shulchan Aruch, big fish, which are salted, is exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were taking big fish, regular sized fish, yeah, that were being salted, and it would be nechag de'etchak. That's exactly what came out of that. After that brining and drying, it became nechag de'etchak. And our din says, what do we see in our din? That it needs Bishul Yisrael. That's not enough to me. It's 2 days.
It's
a machlokes. Guess what? We paskin that it needs Bishul Yisrael. So they were, we ended up on the wrong side of the stage.
Yeah.
It was mamish our din. What they came up with,
at you know, the end of the
20 years ago is exactly what the din is over here, which means is things were no good. Rabbi Shmuel, it was.
They were giving a hechsher on this one.
No, they couldn't give a hechsher anymore. So potentially,
everybody was giving a hechsher.
No, they weren't giving a hechsher. When they switch over, and people started using this newer system, they said, okay, well, we can't give you a hechsher for this. Okay,
yeah.
So Rabbi Shmuel did was, is he went around to the companies, and he convinced them that, not for conscious reasons, that for fish reasons, it would make more sense to do a very long brining and a little bit longer drying, and then you'd have to do less cooking. Okay, and what he convinced them was that it was better for their purposes to let it brine. Instead of for a few hours, let it brine for 20 hours. And it was let it brine for a long time. And what happened is, he didn't convince one guy. He convinced the whole industry to change how they do it. Literally, he got loads of people, the whole industry changed over. So the point is that now they brine it and they dry it for so long that it's edible when it comes out. Even before they had smoke.
When you say edible, okay, not just like
now,
cotton.
Now, for that we need our last piece, which is, if you would bite into that fish, okay, we actually just did it here, we had to do it for a couple, we wanted to keep our stuff. If you would bite into that fish when it comes out of that drying, you wouldn't want to eat it as is. Well, most, I don't know if everybody would want to eat it as is. But Lamai says, nobody eats fish. People don't just bite pieces of fish. Some fish, people eat straight. But this fish, it came out like a lox kind of a flavor. Okay, that's what it came out like. Which is the kind of food that you put onto a piece of bread and eat it with a cracker, and that's fine, that's edible. So we saw that, we're going to see in a second more clearly, that to be considered nechal chai, to be nechal edible, it doesn't have to be edible as is. If you would eat it with other foods, that's considered edible also. And that's what this fish was. This fish, after the brining and the drying,
could spread.
was edible enough, then you could take it onto a cracker and eat it like that. That was fine. It would taste perfect. It was like, if you went to a bris and they served that to you, you would think that was fine.
I wouldn't go like it when I have a buffet with a nice, beautiful smoked whitefish.
There you might eat the fish.
And I take it off, and I just eat it.
That you might eat straight. There it's good enough, you might eat it straight. But the lox, you wouldn't eat, most people wouldn't just eat the lox straight. They would put it into a sandwich, and they would, with other things. Actually, maybe I'm insulting you.
No, I don't care. I eat lox on a bagel.
Okay, so therefore that was considered edible, and that was enough. That was enough to make it not need bishul yisrael.
Now, where's that halacha again? It's like a lefta. It's like...
No, we're that's what we're coming
to. What is that called in the halacha? Where you...
The lach is placed upon?
Yeah.
It's sort of not exactly related, but that's... We'll come to that in a second. I'm just telling you that...
What was really the advantage in doing it this way? I mean, why were they convinced to do it this way?
I don't think they're crazy to do it.
I have no idea.
It didn't take long. It didn't take long.
I don't know the details of it, but I know that he told me this, that he went around
to save money or time.
No, they already did. He explained to one kid or whoever owned it, and the guy thought of a great idea that he's going to announce that he's going to do, Brian, we do it this way, and then everybody just followed him. It makes no sense.
I don't know how he did it. I don't understand it.
Call.
I don't know
how he did it. First name? Shlomo?
Moshe. I don't know how he did it, but that's what he did. And now, not to say it's always like that. It's not automatic, because you don't really have to do like that. But potentially, you can give hashgacha if those after those stages, it's edible. Okay. Obviously, it has to be that they're doing it for their benefit. They're not doing it for you. You know, if every time the rabbi walks in, they brine for longer, that's not going
to
work.
And then right? It might be telling you what type of fish it is also.
Maybe. Okay. Now, next thing. And that, now we're going to talk about this thing about if it's edible with other foods. Okay. The Gemara says...
Is this a standard by all the hashgachas?
That's how you make hot smoked fish. I mean, I shouldn't say, maybe there are people who insist that they dish yisrael, but if you think it through and you make sure they brine it correctly, we just went through it ourselves. So a company wanted exactly this thing. It has to be edible.
Go out with us, French level?
That's not my problem.
Okay,
now, next point. The Gemara says that fresh ginger is edible raw, and therefore has two dinim. First of all, doesn't need bishul yisrael, the Gemara says, and you have to make a bracha if you eat it. It's edible. So if you eat it, you have to make a bracha, and if you cook it, it needs bishul yisrael. Then the Gemara says...
You just said it's edible, you don't need bishul yisrael.
It's edible. It does not need bishul. It does not need bishul. You're right. It does not need bishul yisrael. Sorry. And... No. And if you eat it, you make a bracha. You have to make a bracha. Okay. Then the Gemara says, dry ginger is not edible raw. That's what the Gemara says. Now there's the machlokes. Rashi says that when the Gemara says dry ginger is not edible raw means it has the opposite din of the fresh, meaning it needs bishul yisrael and it doesn't get a bracha because it's not edible, and so therefore it does. You don't make a bracha if you eat it, and you don't need bishul yisrael. That's how Rashi learns.
Gingers are roots. Correct.
Okay. I believe you. Okay. So that's what Rashi learns. Tyson says no. The Gemara is only talking about the bracha of it. The Gemara only means to say that there's no bracha, and that's correct since it's not edible. You don't make a bracha on it. But Tyson says you don't need bishul yisrael on it because even dried ginger you can eat with other foods. If you take ginger and you mix it with other foods, it's edible as is. So if you eat it plain, you don't make a bracha on it because it's not edible. It's not edible as is. But if it doesn't need bishul yisrael, because you can eat it, you can't eat it as is, but you can eat it with other foods, as a spice or whatever, however Tyson says you can use it, therefore Tyson says it does not need bishul yisrael. The Gemara doesn't say what it does. The Gemara says it's not edible raw. The Gemara doesn't say what that means. So Tyson says it means it's only inyan the bracha. We're inyan the bishul yisrael, you don't need bishul yisrael.
I know gay bishul yisrael.
Why doesn't this have a standard head there of nechal shulchayim? It starts off...
Dry. So that's a side point. A side point is, we talked about this a few times ago, which is, if you have a food that was once edible raw, in that case, we said from the Chalkos Jam, if you had beans are edible raw when they come out of the ground, fresh beans are edible raw.
Really?
And then you dry beans are not edible anymore, so he had his own right, dried beans are not considered nechal chayim because, as is, they have to be cooked to be eaten. So here's another example of that. The fact that it started off as fresh ginger is edible. The Gemara says it's edible.
What's the answer?
The answer is you look at the food as is. A dried bean or dried ginger is not edible. The fact that it used to be edible doesn't make a difference.
Otherwise, you don't have to come out of another shulchan
aruch. Right, beans are just a sign. But this is another riot to that thing that Chagos Shaman said, that the food that was once Nechachai became not Nechachai is considered not Nechachai. That's an example. You see that. Both of them are Greeks there. But that's okay. Now, this is a Machlok Sachrayim.
Rashi argues on the Tosfos?
Rashi says it needs
Bishul. Gemara is going on Bishul and on Bracha.
Yeah, the beginning of the Gemara is. So the Rashi is going on the end of the Gemara. The Bach says... The Bach learns, like, basically like Rashi, that says that these foods are not considered nechachai.
Yeah.
Even though you can eat with other things mixed in, it's not nechachai. And the Magen Avraham says that they are considered nechachai because you can eat with other foods and it doesn't need Bishul Yisrael. The Mishnah Berurah passes like the Magen Avraham, which is lakula to say that the food which cannot be eaten by itself, but it could be eaten with other foods, if eaten raw with other foods, is considered nechachai.
Where's the Magen Avraham here too?
There's Magen Avraham only in Aruch Chaim.
Reish
Gimel Halacha Daled. Magen Avraham Ois Daled. Okay. Now, the Magen Avraham's rayas. How does the Magen Avraham? What he brings? He has a raya that nechachai, that food that's edible with other foods is considered nechachai. And one of his rayas is the Gemara says that oil is considered edible raw. So Magen Avraham says nobody eats oil as is. You only eat oil with other foods. You put it into a salad. You eat with other foods. So how can the Gemara say that oil is... The Gemara is saying in Yibish Lakhim that oil is considered nechachai. It doesn't need Bishul Yisrael. Why doesn't need Bishul Yisrael? Because you eat it by itself. No one eats oil. Don't drink a cup of oil. Elamai is considered nechachai because you can mix it with other foods and it becomes... And it can be used. That's considered nechachai. Okay, that's one of the Magen Avraham's raya. Another raya is from
Aruch. Why would it need Bishul Yisrael oil?
What do you mean? Why would it need
Bishul Yisrael? What is oil? It's a extraction from a bean, or
let's say take soybean and we get oil out of it.
Cooking going on over there.
Well, let's say you cook it up to make French fries. You cook the oil out to do something with it.
I just think it's not really sure. I mean, nobody.
You're on the second part. But the Gemara says it doesn't need Bishul Yisrael because it is.
If I take oil, raw oil, and I cook it up.
And you would cook it. The Gemara says it's nechachai. So what do you mean it's nechachai? No one eats it. So the Magen Avraham says, it's because you eat it with other foods. When you mix it with other foods,
it's different because even after it's cooked, you only eat it with other foods. Nobody's drinks straight cooked oil either.
Okay, as opposed to, you're saying it's...
What are you saying? I cooked it, okay, Bishul
Lakhim. Right.
You're saying it depends.
I got an example. When before you go ahead and you add the ingredients to it, I went ahead and I fried up the oil. Very simple, a deep fry. I fill it up, oil, and before I put the french fries in there, I have to boil up the oil. So before I boil up the oil, it's just washing
it. Oil is never eaten by itself. So we judge it the way it's used. It's always used with other foods. No one eats oil even in the cook state.
No.
So we treat it, how would you use it? The way you use it is with other foods.
It's not a riot.
And the cook was used the same
way. It wouldn't be a riot.
So you think maybe it's not a riot then?
Because there's a special dish.
That's a good point. Okay. Maybe, and that's not going to help. Will that help us for our other raya? Yeah, it'll help us for the other raya, but we'll be a good raya. Because the other raya is from our din. The din is, our din says that salted fish, small fish that are salted are not Bishul Lakhim, even if you cooked it, because it's, you could eat it as is. The salted fish can be eaten right. As is. Yeah, well, we know that in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim also, in Hilchos Brachos, we have a din, that a person eats fish, salted fish, together with a piece of bread, they don't make a bracha on the bread because the fish is the ikar and whatever. But that shows you that the way you eat fish, that the way you're supposed to eat the herring, you don't eat herring straight, you eat it with a cracker. Okay, that's a common way to eat it, is to eat it like that. So our din is saying that small fish are considered nefachai, salted fish are considered nefachai, even though the way you eat it chai is with other foods. Okay? Now, maybe that's not automatic, maybe that's not true, because you really could eat the herring as is, you really could eat it, you know. Okay.
We eat it with onions.
Okay. So now, according to what we're saying, we'll pass on to the Magen Avraham.
Yeah.
So what happens if we have an onion? Okay, you want to cook up an onion. There's an onion nechachai, it's not nechachai. Well, no one eats onions as is, but if you chop up an onion, put it into a salad, that's fine. You could eat it like that. So that would be considered nechachai, because you could eat it with other foods. It's just too strong to eat it by itself, but you can mix it with other foods, and it's fine. Okay? Now, I'm now going to just...
So it means if you took a bite out of an onion...
If you cooked it,
let's say
I don't know what the thing is.
People eat cooked. If you saute onions, they will eat that plain.
Right. So I think they're chewers about that. I think people used to eat raw onions.
I think it's good for the heart.
I seem to remember, maybe making a mistake. There's a chewer on my show about that. That people used to, and the din was one way,
and nowadays now it's changed.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And now I have a side point before I get to my main point, which is Rebelsky was asked the following question: people eat. They slice tiny bits of raw potatoes into salads. And they even put fish. They'll throw in raw fish or Yankees raw meat into these kind of bigger dishes also. So why don't we say, just like we say chopped, diced onions. Onions are nefechayit because you could chop them up and throw them into a salad.
I told you sushi.
So potatoes, sushi is an example.
It's sushi, they eat raw fish.
And so potatoes, crazy. So raw potatoes are also nefechayit because people put raw potatoes into salads. It's such a thing. People eat small, you know, size up some potatoes. Now, Rabelsky said, I'm not sure I understand this, but I had to explain it. He said is, when a person eats a raw potato in their salad, what they're not saying is that I like this taste. It's that I'm willing to have I like the excitement of the tang of there's something unusual in the middle of my salad. The fact this sort of not edible food in my salad, I'm saying I'm willing to take something inedible because that's sort of an excitement to me to have that food. As opposed to the onion, you want onions, you just can't eat a whole onion, so you have a small onion. So the onion itself is right. So I'm not really sure what the difference is. The potato, you don't really like raw potatoes, but raw potatoes, that little bit of bad taste, somehow your good taste is okay. As opposed to the onion, it's a lot of good taste, and therefore it's okay. What
did Rav Shefter say today?
I think he'd be more inclined to say,
That shipment should be different. One day, I don't know. Maybe it'll change one day, right?
I'm not sure. But it's hard to understand what's the difference. What's the difference?
I never heard of that. No.
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, I think maybe my answer is that it's not very common. Most people don't do
it. It's not common enough.
I've never in my life. No. I don't think I've ever
had it. It's raw potato, I think.
Okay.
I've raw onions plenty of times, so it's a huge difference.
So you're saying maybe that's a different thing.
Okay, it's not on the chain yet. That's all.
Got it there. Okay, maybe that's a different answer. He was trying to say this, and I can't say I fully get the difference with him. The raw onion also, you don't like onions, but onion and salad you like, and so you don't like potato. Okay, so we have a question. We just said, we have onions, and you chop, onions are considered nechachai, because if you chop them up and use them in small pieces, you can eat them in your salad, that's considered nechachai. So now I have another question to you. If you have fish, okay, you have large fish, I told you that if you salt fish for a very long time, it becomes edible. So why don't we say that just like onions, if you prepare it without cooking, you can make it edible, and therefore it's considered nechachai. So fish also, if you prepare it in the right way, it will be considered edible without cooking. Just by salting, you can make it edible. So why don't we, just like in an onion, we say, well, no one likes it as is, but after they do something to it, they do some non-cooking thing to get it ready, and then they do something with it, they can eat it. So the fish also, if I do something to it, I'm going to get it ready and you'll be able to eat it. It's just, both of them don't need cooking to make them edible. You do something to it to make it edible. This one has to be chopped. This one has to be salted. So what's the difference? As long as you don't have to cook it. If you have to do something without cooking, then it doesn't. That's considered nechachai. What's the difference? I'm answering this question, but the answer is really very clear.
Say the question again?
Okay, the question is like this. An onion is considered nechachai, even though you can't bite into it. You can't take a bite out of the onion, but because there's a way to eat it without cooking it, which is to say you chop it up and you mix it with other foods. There's a way to eat it without cooking, therefore it's considered nechachai. So the fish is also like that. There's a way to eat it without cooking it, which is if you salt it for a very long time, it will become edible, and we saw it, it'll become edible, and then you'll be able to eat it without cooking it. So why are onions considered nechachai? Because you can eat them without cooking. Okay. These should also, so then fish should also be considered nechachai because you can eat them without cooking. There is a way to get them to be edible.
Is the beginning, right?
Which is?
You don't say that salting makes it considered nechachai. You don't say it.
Right.
Yes. You should say it.
Right. So
you're supposed to differentiate that.
So the answer, Chalkos Shema says it, Rafat says it in his tshuva. Once you hear the answer, it's very clear. The difference is like this. The difference is that we're going to say in the next din that salting and smoking, all those things are not considered, don't make food bishul akum. That doesn't mean that they're not cooking. We know for everything, kavash kamavushal, malech kareseh, those things are considered, those are ways of making the food not raw. So if there's a way to eat this food while still raw, then it's nechachai. Those food, the fish, you can't eat the fish raw, you have to make it not raw. Now, it happens, there's a technicality. That doesn't make it bishul akum. But it's not raw anymore, the fish is now cooked. It's a prepared fish, it's not a raw fish. So the onion, there's a way to eat it raw. You just have to dress it up, so to speak. You have to do something to it. But the fish, you can only eat if it's not raw. Okay?
So you can actually eat it in that in the way it's in the raw state.
As the fish you can't eat.
You still have to go through a process.
You have to do a process, which is really is a bishul process.
Just it, a halakha, it doesn't
for bishul hakam, there's a
loophole.
A loophole to get out of it.
That word.
See, when it comes to Shabbos, I don't think there'll be any question that yesh bishul achak fisha.
Yes.
Yesh bishul acham licha. We don't shy it.
Okay.
Of course there will be bishul.
Therefore what?
But it's not so poshut on what.
But I
think got a real
hearing.
Like,
okay. You're saying it's a little bit of a lower level.
I'm saying it's not really, it's not considered masculine.
I can accept that.
It helps
but still, it's still not the same as chopping it up. It's not, you might be right in Tuchel Shabbos, but it's still not a raw piece of food.
No.
It's food that's been made, done something to make it, not raw.
I don't know. I don't know if it's not considered a raw piece of food.
Yeah, he's right. Sure. And how long
was it? I'm saying, Shabbos is considered... It's yesh bishul acha whatever acha kafisha, so maybe it is wrong. Maybe it's considered wrong.
Okay.
Are you sure about that, by the way, with hearing? That took a piece of hearing and baked it off at your time of bishul.
I could hear that.
I'm arguing. I hear you're a pillow. I hear.
You've definitely accomplished something to cook.
But I think I'll bishul acha should
fall. I don't think it helps you make it. Maybe it's still wrong.
Okay, now, all of what I just told you is fine, but at least there's one big
question, however,
which I don't have the answer. I don't really have the answer to. Which is like, it's not my question. This is Rabbi Eli Amy Gerstein's question, which is like this.
Who's he?
He's the person who works at OU who does what I used to do.
He's his ankle.
Right, my ankle.
Oh, really?
He's not the person who's left. After I left, it's the person after.
Who left? The other fellow's not there anymore?
For later. So, what is like this? So, the what he answered like this, Rabelsky said that beets do not need Bishul Yisrael, even though no one can eat a beet. I mean, you eat it, it's like eating a potato. You can't bite into a beet. And you have to eat it cooked. But he said, it's very common to eat beets raw because chrein is made of beets and horseradish. Ground up raw beets, together with ground up raw horseradish, makes chrein. So you eat raw beets often enough. There's a way to eat raw beets. There's a common way to eat it.
So therefore, the color, it's not the food.
Therefore, but you do eat it, so you can eat beets. So therefore, it's considered a food which is nefesh chai, because we said if you can eat it with something else, so just like if you eat onions with salad, that's considered nefesh chai. So beet with grain, beet can be eaten if you mix it with grain. If you eat it the right way, then you can eat it. So it's considered nefesh chai because there's a way to eat it with other foods.
Okay,
and that's what it's really part of this thing.
Yeah.
Just like we're saying about onions. Okay, the question is like this: you can't eat really. What's going on is when you put the beets into the grain, you can't eat it then.
Like an onion.
What goes on is, you also put in vinegar, and it doesn't, it's not because it's mixed with the chrein, it's because it is pickled with the chrein, that's why you're able to eat it. I mean, you put in vinegar and it pickles the beets, and therefore they become edible. So seemingly, the beets don't, you can't eat beets raw, what you're doing is the beets with, this is, maybe I make a mistake, maybe the Matthias is wrong.
The beets are being, as you say, like cooked.
Pickled. So they're not edible raw. You're making them not raw, and that's how you're able to eat.
According to what you're saying, I mean, I don't make horseradish. But if I just took beets and horseradish and mix it together, it wouldn't be edible.
That's what he's saying. He's right. Now the Matthias might be wrong. Maybe it's a mistake of Matthias. It's...
I know my mother used to make
grain for Pesach.
Grain, you know, for Pesach. She did it at Pesach.
Okay.
And what she did cook the beets?
It was beets and the horseradish.
She cooked
and
the beets and had cooked the beets.
What?
Oh, I tell him I call her up and ask.
Okay, so that was the question. So, it could be it's a mistake, Matthias. Maybe there was no vinegar, or it's cooked before. Maybe it's
a lot of grains do it.
It's not negev lemaisa, probably because beets are probably not oil shochmalim. Yeah, but just the understanding of it, if you have a food that in order to become edible, it needed to become not raw. That's not nechol chai.
It's only the kasher Rogalski.
Yeah, and I don't know what his answer is. Right, I think he did ask him, but I don't remember what the answer was. Okay, so that's a...
Yeah, sure.